Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2023 Home Education Conference held in Salt Lake City, Utah.
All right, so here you are. I'm Christy Corbett. This is our class for dyslexia or struggling readers. I will just go ahead and start. Our ultimate goal, of course, is to turn our readers into avid readers. And as homeschool parents, I think you're in a great position to make this happen. I've worked with a lot of homeschool families and homeschool kids, and I've noticed that struggling readers are often reluctant readers. Okay, they often avoid reading, not because they don't want to read, because they want to avoid failing or disappointing people. So, it's really true, as one educator has said, children would rather appear unwilling than unable. So, why are they struggling? Well, I'm going to touch on three key areas today. The problem may be that the program that's being used to teach them is not aimed exactly at students with dyslexia. It may be missing some key components for these students. It may be that the books that they were given early on were just a little too difficult. They say level one, but they're not level one. The student is not prepared. A key reason is that a student may have a moderate or even a severe lack of phonemic awareness, and this is absolutely crucial, phonemic awareness for successful reading. So what's our solution? We want to make it so our students have continual success. Research shows that upwards of 95% of individuals can learn to read. As soon as I start working with a student, I help them put two sounds together. I say, look, you're reading. To me, success is a huge motivator. Helps build back trust in themselves and in their teachers. I remember our family was leaving state conference, and as I was walking toward the door, I felt somebody hugging me around the waist, and I looked down, and here was this little face looking up at me, and it was my student that I had started working with a few weeks earlier. She'd been so reluctant to come and so discouraged, but she started to have success, and I know she came to hug me because she was so grateful, and she had hope. So I want to share with you what I did for Emily and what I do for all my students, no matter what their age, and this is kind of the secret sauce of the way I work with students. So here we go. We're going to make it easy, okay? And how are we going to do that? We're going to take our student back to the beginning, back to sounds, okay? And we're going to go back so the student can be successful from the beginning, okay? That's so motivating. We're going to build a strong foundation in phonemic awareness, which is crucial. They're going to master their vowel sounds. Oh, my word, so many students come to me, they don't know their vowel sounds. And do tons of decoding practice, maybe way more than they've ever done before. We're going to really focus on catch-up now, becoming fluent readers versus some, you know, curriculum that's based at some age level or some grade level. This takes buy-in from the student and from their parents. If you take somebody back to the beginning, it seems like a little bit hard for the student and also for the parents. But I say, we're going to do some things differently this time. I'm going to show you some new methods you haven't probably used that are highly effective. Just trust me, and usually I get that buy-in, and then we can move forward. So I'm going to share with you some key components that would be part of a program aimed at students with dyslexia. Also some teaching tips, strategies, and little demonstrations that I think could be added to just about any program, to enhance just about any program. I had one mom of a student who said, I have a master's degree in elementary education, and they never taught me any things like this. So this hopefully will be new and a powerful addition to whatever program you're now using. All right, so let's hit it. Number one, key component. We want to address the absolute need for phonemic awareness. What is phonemic awareness? Phonemic awareness is the ability to detect the little individual sounds that make up words, that words are blended from, right? Some students can't hear that. To them, each word is just one big different sound. They can't tell what little individual sounds make up that word. Well, here's why that's a problem. If you don't know what sounds are in a word, you wouldn't know what letters are in a word either. So how would you recognize it if you saw it or know what letters to use to spell it? Phonics is just assigning a letter to a sound. But if you don't know the sounds, you wouldn't know what letters. So phonemic awareness is crucial. I want to emphasize lack of phonemic awareness has nothing to do with intelligence, has nothing to do with not trying hard enough, and has nothing to do with let's just wait a year or two more. Okay? To me, it's like not being able to carry a tune, okay? And plenty of people can't carry a tune, right? You go, ah, and then go, ah, and they just can't quite match it, right? But with strategic, intensive, direct instruction and practice, you can teach virtually anyone, up to 95% people, to carry a tune. And you can help just about anyone develop phonemic awareness, okay? It's an absolutely crucial thing. Here's a key problem. Some students have weak phonemic awareness. So they may do okay with one or with two sound words, or even three sound words, in and on, or cat, dog, run. But when the words get getting longer and more complex, it breaks down, and they can't detect the individual sounds. For example, my daughter was a struggling reader. This is way before I was trained. And she decided that she was going to memorize a book and go up and read it to her teacher. So off she went, and when she got there, she read it to her teacher. And the teacher, bless her dear heart, took words out randomly and put them on the board. My daughter couldn't read any of them. Because memorizing is not reading. Guessing is not reading. You have to be able to decode. There are 500,000 words in the English language. So we have to have our students develop decoding skills. And they have to have phonemic awareness in order to do that. I had a student named John who was 70 when I began working with him. He was completely illiterate. He'd been through elementary school into high school and still not able to read. When I started working with him, I saw immediately that he had a severe lack of phonemic awareness. He had a hard time putting two and three sound words together. We worked for weeks and weeks on that, and I'll show you what we did. And eventually, he got it, took off, and by the end of the year, he was reading chapter books. So it was a real joy to work with him and see him be successful. All right, so how are we going to develop phonemic awareness? Well, we are going to feel sounds, okay? I don't know if you ever tried this before. We're going to feel sounds. When your mouth makes a sound, it always does it in the same way. So if you can be aware what your mouth is doing as you work your way through the word that you're blending, you can feel the sounds in the word, and that way you know what sounds are in a word. Students start to feel the sounds, and pretty soon they can hear them, okay? So we're going to start with consonant sounds, and I start with most sounds come in kind of pairs, voiced and unvoiced, like P and B, T and D, K and G, F and V. L and R are made similarly in the mouth, and so are M and N. We're going to discover how they're made in the mouth and suggest a label, not to memorize them, but just to reflect on it. Okay, so just for fun, I'm going to pretend you guys are my students. You are my students. And we're going to practice this, okay? So I'll make a sound. Imagine that you're my student sitting with me. I'm going to make a sound, and you make it too, okay? So make this sound, b. Okay? So I say to my student, how'd you make that sound? What was moving in your mouth? Your lips, right? So I say, well, were your lips creeping open, or were they popping open? B. They're popping open, right? So let's call these the lip poppers. And so I say to my student, do you know what letter goes with that sound? B, b. And lots of times they know, sometimes they don't. If they don't, I just tell them, and it's the letter B, right? So we make a little flashcard. We've got lip poppers on the back. We've got a little B on the front. We're going to find its quiet brother, its quiet pair, B, B, P, 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 P. And that's our letter P, so there's our lip poppers, right? Your lips pop to make them. So later on I say, why do we call these lip poppers? Oh, B, B, my lips pop, okay? Let's try another one. Make this sound, D, D, okay? So now what's moving in your mouth? Your tongue, right? Is your tongue gliding or is it tapping? Duh, duh. Tapping, right? So we would call these tongue tappers. I'd ask them if they know what letter it was, and hopefully they would say D. If they didn't, then I would say D. We'd draw the D, find its quiet pair, duh, duh, t, t, t. We have a D and a T, and those would be tongue tappers on the back. So we're making a flashcard for each one. This next one is a really important one. Try this one. Ooh. Okay? Feel something move? Yeah. Your tongue, right? Went up, it lifted up. So we would call these the lifters, and the R is made the same way, but in the back of your mouth. Okay. And then the last one is n. Make that sound. N. How'd you make that sound? N. Where was the air? Where was the noise coming out of the sound? Yeah, out your nose, right? So we'd call these the nose sounds. All right. So we would discover each of the consonant sounds by how they feel, and give them a label, and then when we want to talk to our students about it, we say, what do we call these? Whatever. They say the sound, and they go, oh, yeah. All right, so now, just for fun, you've learned the first few. Let's put them together and feel what your mouth does when you make these sounds. So here's our first one. Can you all see that from here? Okay, so we feel now as you say it. Bed. Feel the popping and the tapping at the end? Okay, this time we're going to put an N in here, our nose sound. Make this sound now. Bend. Do you feel that coming in there? Take the nose sound down and put an L in. Let's try this one. Bled. Do you feel your tongue go up? Bled. Okay. Now we're going to just put them all together with that little E sound, to make a five sound word. Ready? Blend. Do you feel all the sounds? Yeah, your mouth makes them just the right order, right? Then we're going to go back to bad. Now they're missing. This is really helpful when students are starting to do beginning and ending blends, because now they can tell if they're putting a sound in, extra sound in, or leaving it out, because they can feel it. All right, so those are the consonant sounds. You can start with all the consonant sounds and just discover each, all of them, or you can just do a few consonants and a few vowels and then start reading, okay? All right, so the next one, you can feel vowel sounds too. The consonant sounds are made by something that stops it in the mouth, your tongue, your lips, your teeth. Vowel sounds just flow out, right? But you can tell the difference in vowel sounds by the shape of the mouth and by how open or closed the jaw is. Okay, so I hope you picked up one of these little charts. Did you get one of these little things that are folded in half? All right, so you're my students again. So this is how I would do it. So I would say, let's start. I'm going to say a sound, and you look at your little chart, and you're going to point to the picture that your mouth looks like when you say that sound. Are you ready? Here we go. Here's the first one. Eh. Eh. Do you see what picture? The smile, right? So in the third box down, I would say, you're going to put your letter, and I would say, what letter do you think of when I say eh? Now, they may know or they may not know. If they don't know, I tell them, I may put an E in there, okay? All right, let's try this next one. You're going to point to the picture. Ooh. So what picture? Okay, the little round guy up here. Okay, so I say, what letters do you think of when I say ooh? And hopefully the student would say two O's. If they don't, then I just tell them, right? And then the last one, ah. Okay, obviously we're down here, right? What letter do you think of when I say ah? Very good back there. we put the O in, okay? All right, so now you can use this chart. This is the crown jewels. This chart is the crown jewels. You can use this chart to learn the vowel sounds, also to master the vowel sounds. Okay, so now I'm going to say the sound, and you're going to say it to yourself and point. So point to the letter that makes the ah sound. Okay, you can see it on your chart. Yep, point to the letter that makes the eh sound. Very good, the nice little E. And how about what letters make the oo sound? There you go. Then with my student, after they're good at that, now I'm pointing. Okay, so if I pointed down here, what sound does that O make? Ah. What sound does my little E make? Eh. And how about my two O's? Ooh. Okay. You are anchoring all the vowel sounds. The vowel sounds are e, a, o, oi, a. I mean, they're all over the place. This is a chart that organizes them for your student and helps them master it. Then finally, turn your little chart over, and without looking, can you put the letter that makes the ah sound down here? Okay. Remember what letter that was? I didn't give you much practice. How about the little eh sound over here? Can you remember what that one was? Okay. Put an E in there. And then how about the oo sound? You remember those two little sounds? Okay, so you can use them to master. Now, here's something I'm going to suggest. Yes?
When you do those, are you including like the A-U-G-H sound as well?
No, I'll show you in just a second. Yeah. And I apologize. I probably can't take questions too much because my time is so limited. But come talk to me afterwards. I have all day to talk to people. So, sorry. I want to emphasize that vowels, I don't use long and short. That's confusing to me or difficult. Vowels have a sound, and they have a name. The sound of E is eh. The sound of O is ah. Sometimes a vowel will say his name. E will say E, but only if it's with another vowel sound or a certain place in the word. So I teach that E says eh. Most of the time it does, and O says ah. Okay? All right, here's the complete vowel chart. Look at that. 17 sounds with variant spellings. I may do all the consonants at once, but I only do the vowels a few at a time, okay? And then add extra spellings as we go through. Now, one more thing I want to suggest is it's easier to learn a vowel sound if it's combined with only one other sound. For example, think how much easier it is to hear oi in ois instead of moist, or to hear the ow in aun instead of ground. So I actually combine all of those vowel sounds with one, or you know, with several other consonant sounds, and I stay at the two-sound level until they've mastered all of the vowel sounds. Okay, this is probably a different approach than you've used, but I think it's a powerful way to do it. Okay, so always keep a blank vowel chart, and then there's the ultimate all filled in for you with most of the variant spellings. All right, so then as soon as I get them to have them felt the sounds, okay, they recognize the sounds, then we start decoding real and nonsense combinations. You can see here that I start with just a vowel consonant. We work on all, you know, all the vowel sounds with one other consonant. Then we flip it so we have a consonant vowel. We do a ton of work on those. Then we put three sounds together, okay, CVC, beginning blends, ending bends, complex single syllable. Then we get up to two-syllable words, and then multisyllable. Most multisyllable words are basically two or three syllables with prefixes and suffixes stuck on the back. And so we work our way up, and then the light bulb goes on. Oh, my word, students begin to go, wow, I get it. Words are made up of individual sounds in a certain specific order. And then you'd be surprised how quickly they can move forward. So here I give some examples of how you would do what's called tracking, okay? You can use lists like here on the, you can use lists like here, or you can use a workbook, and I want to share with me my workbooks that I think could be added to any program. They're fabulous. So let me just go through here. So I might write down an E, and I'd say to my student, what does that say? Do you remember? Eh, right? Then below I would write EB, and I say, now what would this say? And they would say eb. And I would say, if this says eb, and I put them together, then I write below, what would this say? And they say egg. And I say, if this says egg, what would this say? And I write the EL down here, the EN, and they go all the way through. And then I have them go back and just read the whole thing for me. I change just the consonant in each case. You want to just make one change each time. In this second group here, I kept the consonant the same, but I changed the vowel. This is a little bit more, maybe a little bit more difficult. If this says egg, what would this say? They only have to make one different sound as they go through. You can put a little dot under the first letter they need to say. Sometimes it gets a little bit confusing. These workbooks do the work of the list for you, and I'll show you those. Here, you start with these two sounds, app, and only one change. The A changes to I, and then ip comes it, and ib, you can see it's just one change each the way down, and they're practicing as they go. So lots of decoding. The thing that's so fabulous is for each one, this is at level VC and CV, just two sounds, 700 practices. That's a lot with all the vowel sounds. And that's what some of these students need. Just these, you know, just they need this much practice in some cases, and that's why they're struggling. They don't have the foundation they need. All right, so you can use the vowel chart, I hope this works, to practice with beginning and ending blends. So let's see if this works. Oh, well. Okay, so you give the drift. I go all the way around the vowel chart. That does two things. You're practicing all the different blends, and you're also practicing all the vowel sounds. You can make little cards to go behind the vowels, so you're doing the ending blends all the way around the vowel chart, too. Emphasizes both of them. All right, so a second key component for students with dyslexia is a visual component. We don't want our students to have to sound out the same words every time they see them, right? We want them to be able to retain that word in their mind, okay? And what Lin-Manuel Bell teaches is called symbol imaging. It's the ability to see and retain a series of letters in your mind's eye. Some students see nothing. That has to be developed. Okay? And that way, they can compare what they see in their mind's eye with what they see on the page and see if they have a match, okay, if it's the word that they know. So how do we develop symbol imaging? All right, so we're going to start the same way we started with feeling the sounds. We're going to start small, okay? So this is how you do it. Basically, it can be more complicated, but it doesn't need to be. This is how I do it. You hold it up, you take it away, and say, what letter did you see? Can you kind of still see it in your mind? What letter did you see? O. And what would O say? Do you remember from your chart? Ah, okay. All right, so we work on one sound at a time until we got those down. Then we move up to two sounds, okay? So now I hold it up maybe just a little bit longer, okay? I'm going to take it away. What letter did you see? OB. What would OB say? OB. Great. And then when we get up to three sounds, okay, hold it up a little bit longer. Take it away. What letters did you see? N-O-D would say nod. Okay. And then the reason I ask them to say what letters did you see is I'm making them hold it up in their mind eye. So I'm developing that ability to retain that sequence of letters, that image of letters. Then I can manipulate these. I could say, if that says nod, take the D off and put a G on. Now what would it say? Nog. See, they're still keeping their mind's eye because I'm asking them to manipulate it. Take the O out and put an A in. What would that say? Nag. Take the N off. Now we have ag. So you can help them retain, you know, that ability to see, but also practice manipulating the sounds, which also increases phonemic awareness. All right, and then the last thing after that would be just simply have them spell. How do you spell ob? Ob, and they say ob, O-B, right? They can feel it, right? Okay, so that's symbol imaging. That's another key component. Now I want to give you some tips and strategies that I've used through the years to make it easier to learn to read. A key one is to introduce books when they're prepared. We don't want to let reading wreck reading. So I'm sure you've heard of decodable books. These are amazing. These books are written so that every word in the book plays fair. You've taught them this letter makes this sound. Now these words play fair. There are a few sight words usually listed at the beginning that you can help your students work with to prepare. But these are fantastic. For the younger students, I would probably start with this group over here. Primary phonics is fantastic, and they go up and increase in complexity. Getting all the way up to two syllables. They have a bunch at each level. And then for the older students, this is a job for Zach. These are written for high school students who are beginning to read. And you can find these books on a site called High Noon. They're called Sound Out series. And they're fabulous. This one, Lost, is like a spy thriller. And this one, they have science, geography, history, all decodables. The words play fair. And now the student feels successful and they're motivated because they can read these books. They're prepared to read them. They're called High Noon Sound Out Series, decodable books. High Noon is the site. All right, so here's an example. Here's an example. This is the primary. Ben is a big bug. Okay, so it's basic, right? And this is at the high school level. This is this book here, A Job for Zach. Mom, can I fix hot dogs for us, said Zach. Yes, you can, if we have buns to put the dogs in, said Mom. Imagine writing a whole book, all single syllable, short vowel sounds. Amazing. I tell my students, I promise you, if you'll do these books, it's like shooting baskets, then one day you will be able to choose the books that you want to read. So I have to get a little bit of buy-in with this. But usually they're excited to be decoding. It's easier now because they're decodable, and they're prepared, and they're excited and motivated, okay? So I always use decodable books. All right, so now another thing you want to address is our high-frequency words. 80% of words in books are the same 1,000 words. So if your student can learn those 1,000 words, oh my word, they can read 80% of the words in all those books out there, right? And there's lists you can find online for free, the FRI or the Dolch lists. And my goal for my students is all 1,000. I think this is a fabulous list. I think there's passing around. Is there my helper back here is going to pass around. I'm can't really answer questions, but if you want to write your name and your email down, I'll send you all these notes and some other stuff too. So, but anyway, 80% of English is phonetic. Okay, hard to believe, but it's true. The other 20% of the words we use all the time, unfortunately. So words like what, does, could, have, was, who, people, part of the word plays fair, okay, but there's at least one or two letters that don't play fair. So what do we do? So I usually use flashcards, and these are already made up flashcards, but you can buy, I was thinking for, as a substitute for this, using these are reusable flashcards. You just dry erase. They're really amazing. So here we talk about the word, what doesn't play fair. We'd probably put the A in a color. We could say the word like it looks. What are you doing? What were you thinking? Kind of make fun of the word. Okay. Use little mnemonic devices. In this word people, I usually put hair on the E and the O, and I say, look at these people in this word, this little skinny little guy, a little chubby guy. You can use little mnemonic things, like when I come to the word wood, which is a complete mess, I say, O-U-L. Why would you be in this word? Oh, you L, how could you? Why should you? You know, it's just kind of mock the word or whatever. And then in all these, eventually you're going to be symbol imaging. What letters did you see? And what would that say? Tons of practice. Again, you want to keep your learning of sight words at the level of your decoding. So if you're just working with two sounds, then you just do the two sound real words here. Three sounds, most words in English have at least three sounds. So just move forward through through your list. If they're too long or too complex, just circle them and come back to them when you've got to that point in the decoding. So this is a great thing to have as a sight word list to be working on as you're working on your decoding. Now, look at this cartoon. It's back in, they've been having these problems since the times of the Egyptians. It's I before flea, except after C. We want to make it easier the way we structure our lessons. We want to structure our content. And if you have a program you're working on now, it probably comes with an overview. And here's the overview for my program. I use it just like a checklist. So I make sure I do everything and be comprehensive. And memorize as few words, as a few rules as possible, like this I before E except after C rule, right, we all learned. 40 words in English follow that rule, and 900 break the rule. If we had to have rules for all the different spellings in English, we have hundreds of rules. I suggest keep it simpler. Just do some key rules, the hard and soft G and C, adding plurals, adding ED or ING, okay? And then you want to structure your pacing of your lesson, not just all decoding, but introduce some material, do some practice, do some decoding, do some review, and I'll be giving lesson plans for those who sign up for my notes. So structuring your lessons is important. Then you want to use a review tool, and I think this is a great way to do it. I use this with all my students. As I'm teaching them new spellings, I create a ring, I make a little card, and then hold it up, take it away. What letters did you see? A, Y, what would that say? A. I do that for all my prefixes and suffixes. Look at the mess this is. This is shoal. Okay. And then I've got adding ED, I've got plurals, the sounds of Y, the C and G rule, how to divide words. So that we have this all in one place and can review it like every day, right, when we work on our lessons and keep adding to it. Okay, so that's great to have a review tool. Repetition is so key. If you can see that black line, if you teach somebody something once in a month, they'll remember probably about 20% of what you taught them. If you can review it three times within the day or a fourth time within a week, your ability to retain, their ability to retain goes up to close to 90%. So repetition is so crucial. That's why I use a review tool like I just showed you. You want to be so patient. Your students, they may have a severe lack of phonemic awareness. They may need tons of practice at each level. And again, these workbooks come in six levels with 700 practices at each one. They may need way more practice than they did when they first were learning to read. Or you may be surprised how soon they get it. They get the decoding and they're kind of take off. A lot of my students have attention deficit issues, so we want to watch pacing in that case. Shorter sessions, you know, two sessions of 15 or 20 minutes a day. Short instructions. Do this, practice. Do this, practice. And then review just about every day. So patience is so key. I really encourage read alouds as long as your student will let you do it. Reading aloud, because reading aloud aids vocabulary and decoding. It's easier to decode a word if you've heard the word before, right? You know you've arrived. So I had one student working on government. Government. And she recognized it because she knew that word. So we get vocabulary from books, not from talking, not from TV, not from social media. We get our vocabulary from books. So read alouds are crucial, and we can talk about the vocabulary that we're reading about, help them, the student, be able to understand that. Our goal, of course, always is comprehension. And as your student becomes better at decoding, I promise their comprehension will improve. However, there's a special processing ability called concept imaging that not everybody has, and I didn't even know about it until I was in this program. When people are reading, they're playing a little movie in their mind. They can see the images of what they're reading. Some people don't see anything. Boy, that's a problem, because you want to be able to see it in order to understand it, right? So they have to be able to image what they're listening to. Obviously, vocabulary is important. If you don't know what a word means, you can't image it, right? There's a wonderful program Linda Mubell offers called Verbalizing and Visualizing. You can just get the manual and help them. It's awesome. You start with one image, just like on the others. But also, right now, when you're working with your student, ask them to describe what they're seeing in their mind's eye while you're reading. If there's no pictures in the book, what did your character look like? How big? Are they big or tall or old or young? Or what were they wearing? What was the color of their hair? Where are they? That kind of thing, to see if they're visualizing and imaging what you're talking about. And also, of course, we want to create a culture for reading in our home. Parents have to read, right? Show them that reading is valuable. Maybe have a family book club. Always have books around. All right, now I'm ready to show you the easy way to divide multisyllable words. I've gotten in so much disagreement with people over this. There are 6 syllable types out there. I don't do that. That's hard. I think there's basically 2 ways to divide. There is a third way, and just about all the words that you would use, you can put on a card like this. You divide between the vowels. So I just do these separately later. But I just teach 2 ways of dividing, and this works beautifully. What you do is you find your word, okay, and you dot the vowels. So let's say we start with 2-syllable word. We put a dot under each of the vowels. If we have 2 consonants in the middle, consonant letters, we divide between them. That creates what's called a closed syllable. Okay, that C kind of closes that little vowel off. And in that case, our little vowel is going to say its sound. Summer, cannon, sister. Okay, works great. Now, here's where this is a little bit, different than most people do it, but it works really well. If you have a pattern in a 2-syllable word where you put the dots on the 2 vowels and there's only 1 consonant in the middle, you put the line after the first vowel, that creates what's called an open syllable, okay? And I tell my students, that little vowel has nobody after him. He can run out and say his name. I'm free, I'm an I. Or he can stay back and go, I'm shy, I'm an eh. So he can say his name or his sound. Try it both ways. Virtually every time, only one of them makes a real word. So is it tiger or ticker? Is it camel or camel? Or ever or ever? Or diver or diver? Or metal or meadle? See how basically you just try it both ways. We want to divide words so they sound like we say them. Then it's so much easier to recognize them if it sounds like the way we talk, right? So look at this. We have remember. Isn't that how we say it? Remember. And look at capital. That's how we say it. So we want to divide it so it sounds like we say it. When we speak, we start syllables with a consonant wherever possible. So we're going to do that. If we use these 2 methods, it works virtually every time. So here's what I say. When a student has a long multisyllable word, first off, you box your prefixes and suffixes. Okay, just box them off. They always just virtually always sound the same. Then you're going to put a dot under the remaining vowels. And then you're going to divide according to the 2 patterns. And then you're going to put it back together. It could be indecisive, 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 right? There's a couple of things those could be because they're open syllables, but if the students heard that word before, they're going to go, oh, indecisive. Suffixes that start with a vowel, like and all and us, they grab the consonant before because that's the way we talk. So I have my students, when I box it, I go ahead and grab that B, grab that T. And down here, the us ending is going to grab the M, famous. Could have been famous, but it was famous. To me, this is the easy way to do it. Okay, we want to go the easiest way. If they're going to be linguists, they can learn the the six-syllable endings. Okay, now just a few more quick tips. Obviously, you want to avoid distractions, noise, interruptions, enticements, but also anyone negative. And I've seen this happen a few times. You're taking the student back to the beginning, right? And for it's possible that there's a part of the family, someone else in the family, who also struggle to read. And it could be that that could be kind of triggering for them, okay? And they may get a little bit uptight, and that communicates, and it can sometimes shut the student down. So better to just have that person wait until your student is decoding and can go read a book to them. So no negativity. In fact, I try to be way overboard thrilled for every little thing they're doing, every step. When we're going app, ip, up, op, and I just thrilled it. I say, oh, you're doing great. That's it. You've got it. Look at you. You're going. Oh, my word. You're reading. This is fantastic. Because what they're doing for them can be very challenging. Think about learning to carry a tune if you couldn't. It's hard. Developing phonemic awareness can be hard for students. My 70-year-old student, 70 years, and hadn't been able to do it. So remember to be thrilled so that they're thrilled at every level, okay, no matter how many practices it takes for them to get to the next level. You're doing a good job. And, of course, you want to make it fun. I always, especially to start, I always add games and activities and little breaks and things, especially to get started to kind of pull them in and prime the pump. Look at this tic-tac-toe. Change the X's and O's for a couple of the vowel sounds you're working on. No, use I's and E's. And when they go I, they have to say I says eh, and they have to E, they say E says eh, right? Play it that way. This is a fabulous app. It's called My Memo. It makes concentration games out of anything you can write on the card. So I write vowel sounds, I write prefixes and suffixes, sight words, fabulous. You're playing a game. Another one that's really fun is called the Word Search Creator. You create your own word search games. Kids love this. I do all my vowel sounds this way. Prefixes, suffixes, sight words, vowel, word search creator. And then my number one favorite app for learning the sight words is the Smiley Sight Word app. Oh, my word, it's fabulous. It is customizable. It has both the Fry and the Deutsch lists on it. You can just use three or four words at a time. It shows the word. If the student touches the word, it says the word, so they know if they got it right or wrong. It keeps track of the ones they got right or wrong. Just keep doing a few at a time and build up their sight word base. That's a great app. And then rewards, you know, and prizes to start, usually. I have this kind of chart that I use, and I remember one little student who had a hard time staying in his chair. His mom made homemade donut holes. Every time he got, he did, you know, one of the little things he read, all the way over to here, he earned a donut hole. And then he filled the whole chart, he got to go to the taco truck. It was pretty fun. He was super motivated. But then, I promise you, this stuff can fade, because once they're decoding it, who thought they couldn't read, they wouldn't be able to read, now they're doing it, that success is so motivating. That just kind of takes the place of games, really, eventually. Successful decoding is fun. All right, here we are, what matters most? I would say success in motivating your students. That's why we go back to the beginning. We go back to build strong foundation in phonemic awareness so they really know all their sounds and all their vowel sounds are mastered, right? Vowel mastery with that chart. I think you'll find that's a great tool. Structured programs, use your overview as a checklist. Structure your lessons, tons of decoding, maybe way more than you thought. Then the symbol imaging, hold it up, take it away. Your sight word acquisition and decodable books to start. I think those would be key components for working with students with dyslexia. All right, so once they start, you're not going to be able to stop them. It's so fun. I had a mom one of my students say, she was trying to make dinner and get everybody to come to dinner, and she yelled at her son, put that book down and come to dinner. And then she thought, oh my word, what am I saying? You know, he's reading this book, it's so awesome. I have my students, after we finish the program, we go through 26 lessons all the way to multisyllable words. I say, every once in a while, the parents will send me a text about how they're doing maybe 6 months or a year later. And I remember Lizzie's mom said, oh my word, she's reading into the night, I have to go in and turn the light off and tell her to go to sleep. Mason used to hit himself in the head when he first came, every time he'd make a mistake, you know. Last time I saw, his mom posted on Facebook, he was finishing the Harry Potter series. Harvey, whose parents, the principal told his parents, we don't think we can teach your child phonics. He had severe lack of phonemic awareness. And his mom sent me a picture of him. He said he's tripping through the Hardy Boy books. Remember, no, you guys wouldn't remember the Hardy Boy books. And then there was my student, Arik, big old vocabulary, loved to talk, would rather talk than do anything else. I said to his mom, he has such imagination, let me know when he's reading Tolkien. And about, I don't know, a year later, I got a fun text, Arx reading The Hobbit. So what a thrill. I loved, I saw this on a mural at a library. From here, you can go anywhere. And it's really true. What students do, they just can take off, and the whole world opens up to them when they're able to read successfully. All right, so I kind of got out of my screen here. Last thing. I really want to be a resource for you if I can. I've given you a ton of material, way too much for this short time we had together, I know. But just wanted you to get a feel for this, these concepts. I will be here the next 2 days. If you want to just pull me aside, I'll be happy to talk to you about anything, any questions I can answer. If your student is with you and you want me to sit down with you and your student, I have a little evaluation I can do to kind of show you where I think they are in phonemic awareness. I'm happy to do that. I've got my phone number here. So if you want to find me, you know, just text me and say, could we get together for a minute? I'd be thrilled to do that with for you. And also, I have a free online class. It's called Free Online Reading Class for Students with Dyslexia. It's a Facebook page. It takes all that I've been teaching you, divides it up into 26 lessons. It's video, Zoom recorded videos posted on the Facebook page. So we start at the very beginning with sounds and work all the way through. So you're welcome to just go to that. Just type that in on Facebook, and I'll let you in the class. And you can either watch the class with your student, or you can watch it yourself and be trained, and then, you know, just work individually with your student. So I wish you all the best. I hope that some of these help tips have been helpful, and I hope to get to talk to some of you too. So, thank you. Okay, what do I have a couple minutes? Ah, so I have time for a couple questions. You know, one thing I realized I forgot to do. So let me just show you real fast, and then I can take a couple more questions. I wanted to show you about dividing the longer words, because this is where a lot of students get stuck, is in longer words. So you take this word here, like this. So I'd say, what's our ending? Ending would be bull. All right, so that almost always just says bull. Where are our vowels? So we have our O and our I. And then our first pattern, you divide between these, put it back together. Possible. 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 Okay. And then the other one I wanted to show you was this one. Okay. And so what's our ending? And we're going to, because it started with a vowel, we're going to grab that T. So there's our ending. Now we're going to dot our vowel sounds. Right? Then we start here. How many consonants? Only one. So we're going to divide here. Then we go between these two. Two in the middle. Put it back together. Everlasting. Or everlasting. Right? Just try both ways. So to me, that's just a really, just works virtually with any word. So that's a really great way to do longer words. Any other questions I can answer? Well, we use phonetic when we talk about, do words follow this pattern where you assign a letter to a vowel sound and that word follows that pattern, that letter follows that pattern. In English, the A has lots of different things it could say, and that's why we have a vowel chart like this so the student can see there's several ways to spell A, right? I even added one here. I don't know if you have that one. So, in some cases, the letter is not being phonetic because it's not following the sound symbol. Phonemes are individual sounds. So if you have two sounds, you have a two-phoneme word in one sound. So phoneme describes the sounds. Phonetic describes whether or not something works with their assigned letter. Well, I think it'd be better to say phonemes are individual sounds. Phonetic means it plays fair. That's probably the best way to say it. Follows the rules. Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? Does it just seem like way too much? Yes. Yeah. It has nothing to do with intelligence, and I don't like that label either. It's just like a big pot that people dump stuff in. I would rather label them reader and just have them see themselves as a reader. And it's just like a little flower that's gone from this to this. When they come in to see me, their heads are down. Sometimes there's tears. Sometimes the parents are in tears. I mean, it's so painful that other people seem to be doing it. What's wrong with me? It's this little kind of a kink in their wiring is what I really think of it.
You
know what? I really suspect that a lot of students who are older and just kind of okay readers, maybe struggling readers, have developed fantastic coping skills. If they had phonemic awareness, my word, they would be way better readers. You can go from bad to good and from good to much, much better. So I think this program would be great for anybody that seems to be a little bit struggling. Yes. Okay, so they're feeling, they can feel the sounds, and you're stimulating that ability to retain those images in your mind's eye when you use that symbol imaging. That will help, but I can't promise you 100% of spelling. The letters are so bizarre in English. Sometimes it's just you have to just absolutely memorize these little weird letters. So it just takes hard work. Everybody has to kind of work hard a little bit in spelling. Yes. The first one would be a program that's not really aimed at students that have a lack of phonemic awareness or a lack of symbol imaging ability. Okay. Second would be giving them books too hard too soon, very discouraging. Third one would be the lack of phonemic awareness, which is absolutely crucial. No, you don't go anywhere without that because you have to have that for decoding. You have to have decoding. So many words in English. Oh. Any other questions? Oh my word, I talked too fast. Yes. Yes, yes, and you're welcome to come and check these. The minute I'm given my time, I have to fly out of here. But come check these out. They're at all these different levels, 700 practices. They're about, I'm not selling these, but you can get them online at Gander Publishing. I think they'd be fabulous to add to any program. Just so much practice, and that's what so many kids need, just more practice than they got before. Yeah. Yes, so I don't like spelling to ruin writing. So there's one called Easy Spelling. It's got a little microphone, and it spells it for you. Okay, how easy is that? Then I make them make a flashcard, and we work on the word so they learn it, right? But I don't want them to disrupt their writing. Yes. So even with the older students, if they can't read, you know, they may outward go, maybe turned off by some of these books, but being able to read is really motivating. High Noon is a site. Online has all kinds of decodable books at all different levels for all different interest levels. High school students, okay, and I use those, and I have some that I can show you. If you want to text me, I'll show you. I brought a whole bunch I can show you. But yeah, I don't have a table. I'm not a vendor, so yeah. High Noon, online. Yeah. Can work either way. They can decode like the wind, but can't remember a thing they read. Or they can not decode, but they have good memory, you know, good ability to comprehend. There's three key issues that students might have that we need to address. They have to be addressed. So, anyway, thank you so much. Appreciate your coming again. Text me if I can get together with you or with you and your student. I'd love to show you my materials and talk about anything about reading. I just love this area of topic. So. Thanks for coming. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it so much.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.